Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beginning November 13th, brighten your holidays at the Disneyland Resort during the Diamond Celebration. Sail into a small world holiday and catch the Paint the Night Parade after dark at Disneyland Park. Over at Disney California Adventure Park, enjoy the festive World of Color Winter Dreams and cruise into wacky holiday fun in Cars Land. The happiest place on Earth just got merrier.
Today is Veterans Day. And we are all about it. As a matter of fact, we were talking yesterday, what is the greatest movie about people who serve? And obviously you can go John Wayne all day, but we decided that the greatest movie about the service is Stripes. And any man with a pair of balls can quote 15 lines from Stripes at any given time.
Easy.
So today we are going to play a game. We will play two clips from movies. One of them is Stripes. You have to tell us which. Got a listener email. They have reached out for our opinion. Andy has the first five of his greatest bass players in history.
Wait, that's today?
It is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His first five at 7:50. 15 through 11. These are not performances. These are players. The greatest, in his opinion, bass players of all time.
Controversial.
And, huh?
It might be controversial, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, he took crap for his last one, and he'll take crap for this one.
yours was at number 16.
I'm still getting beat for my Halloween list. And then we have a rousing round of Dear Gina. Somebody reached out. They wanted Gina's opinion. Yeah. So we're going to get into all of that. I had something else I was going to say, and it completely left my brain, which happens. All right, remain where you are. We lost a good one. I'll come back with that momentarily. This is Mark in the Morning.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Mark, just wanted to let you guys know that yesterday's show was hilarious. You guys are at your total best when things don't work out. The wheels started falling off with the phone caller who wanted to leave his wife for her sister. I knew that this was going to be a mess, but I had to hear it. Then, Jackie and Danny going at it. When I heard Jackie yell, "I'm going to cut you," I laughed so hard I peed a little.
Wow.
Rusty forgetting his appearance just put the frosting on the cake. Mark, your humor is drier than a popcorn fart. You have added some spunk with the younger ones. Great combo. Keep on screwing up. It's great listening, listener Mike.
Wow.
Wow. Awesome. I need to write that down.
Ringing endorsement.
Dryer popcorn fart.
Now we lost a good one. Alan Toussaint, the legendary New Orleans pianist, singer, arranger, producer, and songwriter, passed away yesterday in Madrid. He was 77. He is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Blues Hall of Fame, and the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and a recipient of the National Media of Arts. Here, Alan comments on his election to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I genuinely appreciate the honor, for one thing, and I'm in good company got to know some of the other names. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, the highest honor in our business. I deeply appreciate that.
Some of the more notable tunes that he worked on in some form, Lady Marmalade by LaBelle, Tell It Like It Is, Aaron Neville, Whipped Cream, Herb Alpert, Working in the Coal Mine, Lee Dorsey, this one, Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell, Fortune Teller, and Yes We Can the Pointer Sisters. He also produced this song. So rest in peace, my brother. Now, apparently, Gina has a very important visual announcement.
I do, and I will try to help explain it. These two things actually roll in together. First of all, I went to the dentist the other day, and I am over my full life run of having no cavities. Now, wow. I have three. For the first time in my life,
wow.
I have to get those filled. I am absolutely beyond terrified to go through this.
You should be.
Here's a segue for you.
Scary.
Now, shut up, Danny. Now, sitting next to me on the table right now is a 25-pound tub of maple dipping icing that we can do whatever we want with. There's a grocery store out here that kind of set up shop overnight and then went out of business overnight, and they're selling everything, literally everything, including tubs of donut filling. So I had Tim pick up a 25-pound tub of maple icing, like for donuts, and it's
what goes inside the donut. No, right?
Well, this one I think goes around the donut.
Yeah,
this
the top.
Is like the icing.
Like when you get a maple bar yeah. and that nice tan.
So if anyone
stuff.
Wants to come by and dip anything. Feel free. Sitting right here.
Dip my junk in it.
Anything?
Yeah. Anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's $5.
I'm down.
Let's go back to these fillings. You've gone your entire life, had no cavities.
Never, not one.
You've now
life.
Got three.
Yes, I'm freaking out.
And you're going to go through the okay, look.
Oh, God.
There's no
They
sympathy.
Said they're tiny, but oh, God.
No.
You're
Gina.
Talking to a guy that has had probably 6 to 7 root canals.
No!
Oh my God.
No! Wait, now what makes you have to have one of those?
When the root itself is in danger, you have to go through the tooth down into the root itself.
No.
I'm due
no.
for one too.
No.
Yeah.
And well, I got to tell you, every single one of mine, there was such pain that Tylenol wasn't numbing it. And by the time I got to the dentist, it was a specialist. All he did was root canals. I said, I want the gas. And he goes, I don't do gas.
Then I don't do dentists.
Well, I had to. I was in such pain. It must happen. So
his dentist was Sir Laurence Olivier from Marathon Man. Is it safe? Is it safe?
How do you get through the pain?
Well, Tylenol, but it was still a throbbing.
Oh,
a
my
constant
God.
Yeah, I couldn't wait for him to do it. And one of them was so bad that he numbed it with Novocaine, and then he put a block of ice on it. And I said, he said, can you feel that? And I said, yes, I can. And so he gave me another shot. He wound up giving me 4.
Oh my God.
I could still feel the ice. Oh. He said, I think I'm going to have to give you some, what do you call it? Pills that takes swelling away. Whatever.
Ibuprofen.
And it's something. And then come back in 2 weeks. I said, no, you've got to do this. I'm in such pain.
But you were insisting, even though he didn't have the right equipment to make you not feel pain.
Well, here's what he did. He said, I'm going to drill down into your tooth. I'm going to drill straight down, and I'm going to put the needle down in that hole to numb the root itself. The moment that he did it, I could completely feel nothing. So they're going to rub something on your gum. That'll numb the gum. Then you're going to get a shot that numbs your entire area that he's going to work on.
No. Isn't there any way around this?
No.
Well, and then he's going to drill a little bit.
And you're going to smell something weird, too, at the same time.
Yeah, the enamel burning.
Yeah, it's so it's like burnt.
Okay, dude, no. Stuff. This is not happening.
And
this
specks on your face, too, from it flying
Stop
everywhere.
It. Oh, yeah. This is not happening.
After you're done, for the rest of the day, the whole side
it's
of
true.
Your mouth
well, and you know, they
is
going to
feel puffy, and you won't be able to talk.
Oh, this is during the work week, by the way. And so that'll be fun the next day. And they said, well, do you want to come back for one of the, you know, we'll do one, and then you'll come back for two. So it's not, I go, you know me. I won't come back. So we might as well just do them all together.
Oh,
and
my
entire life, I'm like a wanted poster at dentist's office. I'm the worst patient. Everybody hates me. When I was 12, I had a big, huge file when I was getting my braces on, and across it said in block letters, cotton balls don't agree with Gina. So I don't like this stuff. This is going to be horrible.
You're not going to your second job afterwards, are you?
No. Okay. Yeah. I didn't.
When are you doing it?
December 22nd. I'd asked actually if I could do it in the morning if you wanted it on air, but they don't have any appointments.
Oh, that would be hysterical.
I would cry the whole time.
Oh, we got to change the date.
I'm not Andy. I'm not going to be hilarious with the preamble. I will just be sobbing.
All right, look, if your dentist has Novocaine, has the gas, you're going to be fine. You're not going to care
they
what
don't
he's doing.
No, because Tim and I go to the same dentist and he's had cavities. He's like, no, they give you a shot right in the gum.
Yes, it's Novocaine.
Oh,
all right, we have to do business. On the other side, we found out exactly who it is that bought that Beatles bass drum cover from the auction. And I'll name the name in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning.
Can't buy me love.
Well, we now know who paid all that money for Ringo Starr's bass drum head from the Beatles' first visit to the U.S. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay. Long known as one of the most avid Beatles fans in the sports world, Irsay already owns a 1963 Gretsch guitar once owned by John Lennon, a 1966 Vox by Lennon and George Harrison, and a 1964 Gibson SG model once owned by George. He paid more than $400,000 for each of those items, but Saturday, Irsay wrote his biggest check yet for a piece of Beatlemania. $2.125 million. This is part of an auction at Julian's in Los Angeles and a slew of other rock and roll memorabilia. Chris McKinney, described as the curator of Irsay's guitars, says it's easy to understand why the drum head was so valuable. Quote, if you showed the guitar to 20 people, only one might recognize it. But if you show the drum head to 20 people, most all of them will identify with it. Yeah. So there it is.
And he can use it to chop up cocaine on.
All right, now, Gina, on the other side of the Eagles, Skeeter has come down. She's going to share a dental story about what she doesn't do when she has a filling.
Okay.
So it's coming up in just a minute. Right now, this is Eagles Already Gone on Mark in the Morning.
Oh, is this your snowbank?
No. Who are you?
Well, actually, I am a dentist.
Now, Gina is horrified. Gina apparently has gone her entire life, and she's never had a cavity.
Not a cavity.
She goes to the dentist. She's got three.
Yes.
And she's terrified because she's never gone through the trauma of having a cavity cleaned out and then they put the filling in. In my attempt, Gina, to show you what a complete pussy you are.
Okay.
My wife is here.
Good morning.
Hi.
And she's going to share with you what she doesn't do when she has a filling filled.
Usually, I don't do Novocaine.
What?
She does it with no numbing at all.
What? Why? What are you, the dentist from Little Shop of Horrors?
Because here's the deal. If they're small, it's only going to take a second.
Oh,
and even though you can feel it, to me, it's still not as painful as that needle going in your gum.
She had three kids, though.
Oh, my God.
That's true. That's true. She had three kids.
Yeah. No punch in the face, no Tylenol, no nothing?
No.
Oh, my God.
And then that way, the rest of the day, your face isn't swollen up. You're not talking like your Daffy Duck.
I was told these are very, very small at the beginning stages. So do you think I should not have Novocaine?
I don't know, since you've never had a filling.
No, I'm
and
really
how
scared.
Is it that you've never had a cavity in all your life?
I always said it was the fluoridated water in Kansas.
Maybe you've
no
just
idea.
Never had a cavity search.
No, that's not true.
Well, get this. We were on vacation in Kauai, and Linda said as we went to sleep, she said, I don't feel great. She woke up the next morning in complete pain. We have to go to the emergency room, and I'm going, Jesus, we're in Kauai. How good can the medical care? They were great, actually.
Yes.
We get there. She has a
kidney stone.
Kidney stone.
Oh, my God.
Get this. She is allergic to morphine.
Oh, my God.
She had to go through an entire day of a kidney stone with no Novocaine.
No. Yeah. That pain makes people pass out. I drove my boyfriend at the time to the hospital in the middle of the night because he had one, and we had to stop every 5 feet so we could throw up because the pain was so bad.
Oh, yeah, no. She was puking everywhere. But
here's a funny story.
Oh, my God.
First of all, we didn't know where the hospital was. Secondly, I am in the back seat because I'm in so much pain. Then we get stuck behind a school bus.
Oh, my God.
And we have to stop every time the school bus stops.
No! Dang, Linda, you're one bad bitch.
As a result, she refuses to go back to Kauai.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
It's Kauai's
traumatic.
Fault. Yeah, because that was the culprit.
Yes.
Well, Gina is going to try to, because right now it's December 22nd. She's going to see if she can reschedule it, and we can do it live here on the show.
It will literally just be me. I'm not kidding about that. It'll just be me crying. I'm serious.
That's
is that okay with you?
Sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, great. Stop it!
I have a question before we go. Why are you waiting so long? Why not get it over with right
that
away?
That was the first opening where it wouldn't affect either my work schedules, but apparently
bummer.
We want it to. So maybe they can take me earlier.
Yeah, because I got a vasectomy on the air.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's had somebody rooting around on the air except me.
Colonoscopy, it's a treat.
Well, the dentist, I'm sorry, the guy who does the vasectomy, he's kind of a shy.
Don't have your dentist do your vasectomy.
He was kind of shy and he didn't want to do it. But I talked him into it. And so he was strapped up with a Janet Jackson mic kind of a thing. So his hands were free.
Nice.
And at one point he had told me to communicate with him if I had a problem or whatever. And on the we're doing it. And I said to him, I feel a little pressure. And the doctor said, so do I. I thought it was pretty funny on his part.
Good.
So Jeanette, look, if Linda can go in there and not get any numbing whatsoever, you can. And by the way, the needle, the Novocaine needle doesn't bother me at all.
Right. Oh.
But it bugs her.
No, yeah. it beyond bugs me. I think Linda and I are on the exact opposite sides of the spectrum when it comes to pain tolerance.
Well, we're going to do business. On the other side, there is a restaurant that has done something, and it's trending pretty hugely. They did something unique, and it could change the way we enjoy our restaurant experience. Ooh. I will tell you exactly what that is in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. There's always time for a little Donna Summer. Okay, here it is. Joe's Crab Shack. The restaurant is trending because they have become the first major chain to drop tipping their servers.
Oh.
No tips. Huh. Now, the only experience I've ever had with tips, the first real job other than a paper route, I was a bellhop at a Holiday Inn. And, you know, the minimum wage was $1.65 at that point.
My
and
God.
Tipped wage was $1 an hour.
Mm.
And so I wasn't making any money. And periodically, there would be businessmen that would check in the hotel, mm-hmm. and they would call me, the intercom, 16, room 12 wants to see you. So, and whenever it was that, I knew it was either liquor or women. And so I go, and businessmen left and right were asking me to get them liquor. And I knew a bootlegger, Jackie Bass was his name, drove a green Pinto.
Of course it was.
Right.
He would meet me out back by the dumpster, $5 for a pint of liquor. The businessman would give me a 20, and I would deliver $15 a pop.
Nice.
Only one time did a guy want a girl, and I'm thinking, this is real money. And I called a whore that I went to school with, and I asked her if she was down. She was not interested and was pissed off.
Oh, my
your,
God.
Your one turn at pimping.
That's great. All right, two things now. Today, Veterans Day, we've put some stuff on eBay up for bid. We got two items. We've got a cowboy hat signed by Dwight Yoakam. Mm-hmm. And around Halloween, I was in L.A. and we went to that Halloween store in Burbank. It's open year-round. I found a Kurt Russell doll from the movie
Escape from New York. No, Big Trouble in Little China.
That's it. And Kurt signed it. Those two items are up on eBay. Danny, what are the bids so far?
The Dwight Yoakam hat's at $281.99.
Nice.
And Kurt Russell's at $76.
Oh, thank God, because it was at like 73 cents.
Yeah.
Kurt's getting his ass kicked.
Come on, people.
All right, let's do some trending. Here's Miss Gina Grad.
Well, very out of character for him, Donald Trump had kind words for everyone after the debate last night. He said, I really enjoyed the debate. I thought the moderators were terrific. I think they were very elegant. It was a very elegant evening. So he was very happy about that. People just don't learn. Pictures of country. Country star Jason Aldean have surfaced of him dressing up in blackface for Halloween.
Idiot.
I know. And listen up, short-haired man. Groupon is offering the clip-in man bun for $9.99. It comes in black, brown, blonde. It's horrible. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we reshare a commercial for SeaWorld's biggest competitor. But first, Kansas. This is Mark in the Morning.
Wind. It's got some dust in it. Kansas. This is Mark in the Morning. In about 5 minutes, we're all going to tell you how you can get yourself signed up for the special 60th birthday party because Disneyland is 60. Mark is 60. So we'll run through that momentarily. But yesterday, we talked about the fact that SeaWorld is ceasing their orca show because and they're going to introduce a friendlier, nicer to the whale show, whatever. So there is a competitor that has joined us. It's an advertiser, a competitor to SeaWorld, and we thought we would reshare it in case you missed it. Andrew.
Here at Oceanland, we know what people want, and we're not letting a few complainers stand between our customers and their entertainment.
And that's why we're picking up SeaWorld slack by opening our own orca exhibit. Because deep down, we know that some people kind of don't care if sea creatures are unhappy.
At Oceanland, we don't believe that whales, dolphins, or any other sort of marine life have feelings. And if they did, it wouldn't matter. Their feelings are moot. Humans are the dominant species, and we're not afraid to show those water-dwelling bastards who's boss.
Our killer whale exhibit isn't just a whale jumping around and eating fish. We make our whales perform elaborate, almost psychologically damaging stunts, like swimming through the remains of their loved ones.
What? And not only do we refuse to reward those worthless mammals with fish. If they fail to please us, our patrons, we drop a toaster in the tank. It doesn't kill them, but it teaches them a lesson. What's the lesson? They know. Oh, they know.
Maybe dolphins are more your speed. Well, our dolphins don't smile like all those other cocky dolphins, always looking like they have a funny secret. No, our dolphins weep openly. Probably because our dolphin exhibit only consists of us forcing them to watch footage of their own parents having intercourse. Flipper, oh, he flips her all right, and she likes it because she's a filthy tramp. You hear me, dolphin?
Hey, do you love adorable sea otters? Why? All they do is float around on their backs, contributing nothing to the world, just relaxing without a care in the world. Well, our otters have many cares in the world. They've been beaten down psychologically. We saw to that. First, we shave them. Nothing humiliates an otter quite like being hairless.
Then, we take away anything that they might try to rest on, like a rock or embankment, so they swim all day long. No free lunch here, you hairless freaks.
And they should be happy. They're getting fed at all. They deserve nothing. They are nothing.
Do you like sea lions? Of course you do, because you don't really know what they're like behind closed doors. Sea lions are the scourge of the sea, and at Oceanland, we're teaching them a lesson they won't soon forget.
Our sea lions swim in a freshwater tank. Seems innocent enough, right? Well, that's when their payback starts. Over a span of a few hours, we mix a little bit of cement into the tank until finally, well, we won't spoil it for you.
So go ahead, SeaWorld. Make your vow to stop harming sea creatures or whatever. We don't back down so easily. We're in charge. We're Oceanland. And you've been warned, you water-dwelling pieces of garbage. Your time is at hand.
Season pass is now available.
You water-dwelling pieces of garbage. All right, so Disneyland is 60, so is Mark. We're having a kick-ass party. We're going to bring in 500 folks. Everybody gets tickets to both Disneyland and California Adventure for the day. And then that night at 9 o'clock, it is our private party in California Adventure. You have to do three things to get yourself signed up. Gina, give us the three steps.
All right. So first, you go to thesoundla.com. Click on the contest image and register your phone number. MarkInTheMorning.com also works. Starting Monday, November 16th, listen each weekday at 7 a.m. for the password of the day. Then after the announcement, have your phone handy during the hours of 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. If the sound calls you sometime in those hours, you must answer the call and you must know the day's password to win. Complete details and rules at thesoundla.com. Go there now!
So it's as simple as that. You go get signed up so that we have your phone number. If you know the password and you answer the phone, you get four passes to Disneyland and California Adventure and the private party. You can't call Jackie and say that you're going to die soon or whatever. The only way to do it is what Gina just said.
You can, but it won't get you any tickets.
Yeah. In fact, they're all starting to call. Guess who called yesterday? Cody Decker.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure he's
around
in the party.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'm going to let him come, but he's going to work for it.
Oh, no.
Make him jump through a hoop or two. All right, let's roll some police. On the other side, Andrew has his capsule. That's in about 7 minutes. Get ready for Strange.
Do it! Just do it!
This is Shia LaBeouf.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Make your dreams come true!
Shia LaBeouf.
I like that better.
Oh, is it LaBeouf?
It's Shia fine. LaBeouf.
But I when like Shia LaBeouf.
Name, when you get a stupid name, you're going to have it butchered. Many actors don't like to watch themselves on the big screen. Shia LaBeouf isn't one of them. The star is watching all of his movies in reverse chronological order at the Angelika Film Center in New York. He started yesterday at noon. He plans to go for a straight 72 hours without a break. He made the announcement on Twitter yesterday using hashtag all my movies, and he invited his fans to join him in the theater for free. If you can't get to the theater, you can watch him watching himself at newhive.com. All my movies.
Why?
That's not a bad idea, but he's crazy right now.
Well, that's right now. You know, usually I'm like, I don't care, do whatever you want, but this is crazy. Watch me watch myself on screen for 24 hours.
Right. I think this may fall into that category of his what is it? Performance.
Joaquin Phoenix?
No.
Go ahead.
When he sat with the bag on his head,
performance art.
Oh, that's right. Maybe this falls. Maybe he's sitting in the theater crying.
It's performance. I'm doing air quotes. Art.
So the second that a celebrity does something insane, we can just say it was performance art?
I think absolutely.
All right,
I think that's pretty much what it is.
All of us too.
Anybody who remembers the 1980s probably remembers the epic battle between VHS videotape and Betamax. It was brutal. VHS wound up winning. Believe it or not, after the battle ended, Betamax didn't vanish. Players were still manufactured until 2002, and Sony was still making tapes until very recently. Yesterday, reports have surfaced that Sony is now finally officially out of the Betamax business and has stopped making tapes.
So soon?
Now, I got to tell you, I was completely all about this. I had heard there was going to be a machine made that could record television, and then you could watch it when you got, and I'm like, what? So I started studying, and that was the big thing. Do I go Betamax? Do I go VHS? Mm-hmm. I finally saw an article that said, we believe VHS is the way to go. I bought an RCA VHS player. Nice. It weighed 7,000 pounds.
Yeah, they were as big as Chrysler's. They were huge.
And I also got a video camera. It was wired to the VHS.
Yep.
I was the only guy on the block that had one. I remember friends coming over and marveling at watching a movie on videotape.
You know what? We were the first ones on our block as well to have a VCR and a camera. And there was a backpack for the actual VCR that my dad had to carry on his back to make the camera work. Was yours the same?
The camera never left my apartment. I didn't ever take it out.
Oh, okay. Because you literally had to bring the VCR with you on your back to make the camera work. And I remember seeing an article that Beta was really the better product. It just fizzled for some reason.
Well, when they started releasing movies on VHS, the movie company, I thought I had died and gone to freaking heaven. It was just the best. All right. These two feet are jumping into Andrew's Classic Rock Time Capsule, brought to you by my buddy Patrick at Bristol Farms. They're keeping it local since 1982.
It's time to open Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule.
You heard it. It's open. Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule for Wednesday. It's November the 11th, 2015. Happy 11-11. And here's your quiz. 45 years ago today, a book is published, and it contains the line, "Now's not the time to get silly, so wear your big boots and jump on the garbage clowns."
Oh.
Is this book written by John Lennon, Frank Zappa, Lou Reed, Jim Morrison, or Bob Dylan? The answer come quick.
Who loves the sun?
You know, they say that every kid who went out and bought a Velvet Underground record started a band. Well, when did Velvet Underground start their band? It was 50 years ago today. At least this is the date of their first ever live gig in Summit, New Jersey, opening up for the middle class, spelled with a Y, middle class, at a high school homecoming dance somewhere in New Jersey. You got to start somewhere, you know. But by the way, I've got a snippet here of the middle class. Have a listen.
Wow.
Pay attention to the singer when he jumps in here in about 10 seconds. Now, that guy right there, his name is David Palmer. And the middle class doesn't end up doing a whole lot, but he goes on to work in a band you might know called Steely Dan. It's his voice on this song and a bunch of other songs on that first album of theirs. Such a pure voice.
Times are hard. You're afraid to pay the fee. So you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free.
How about that?
When you
now, let me see if I can find the breadcrumbs back to what the heck I was talking about. This day in 1969... Jim Morrison's in trouble again. This time on a flight from L.A. to Phoenix, Jim allegedly attacks a stewardess, as they used to call them at that time. I actually have some live audio from that. That's
it. Honey.
Yeah, come on, honey. He's charged with public drunkenness and interfering with a flight crew, though the charges are later dismissed when she withdraws her evidence. This is kind of eerie. Just 1 year and a few days after Duane Allman cracks up his bike and dies, Allman Brothers bassist Barry Oakley is killed in a motorcycle accident of his own just 3 blocks from where Allman dies.
That's wild.
That's just absolutely eerie. And finally, this day in 1977, Wings released their biggest British hit of all time, Paul McCartney and Wings. Any guess what their biggest British hit is?
I'll go with Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
Those are good guesses, but it's actually Mull of Kintyre.
Oh, God. Mull of
Kintyre. It's a song about an area in Scotland that none of us give a crap about, but it's where Paul buys a farm. Not buys the farm, but buys a farm. And it ends up staying number one in the UK for 2 full months.
Why?
Good God.
2 full months. Doesn't even crack the top 40 in America. Okay, so back to the quiz. 45 years ago today, book published containing the line, "Now's not the time to get silly, so wear your big boots and jump on the garbage clowns." Is it written by John Lennon, Frank Zappa, Lou Reed, Jim Morrison, or Bob Dylan? What's the answer?
I'll go Zappa.
Yeah, I gotta go Zappa.
Those are good ones, but Bob Dylan. What? The book is his stream of consciousness novel, Tarantula. Critics say it sucks. And they still say it sucks 45 years later. A decade ago, Spin magazine names the line, the worst phrase from a book written by a rock star, and that's the number one. Nailed it. But let's give the crazy nod today to Jimmy and the Doors and let them play us out on the Classic Rock Time Capsule. You are listening to Mark in the Morning.
So this is Christmas.
All right, get ready. Yoko Ono has re-recorded Happy Christmas, War is Over, the holiday classic that she and John originally
thank
recorded
goodness.
Back in 1971. She is backed by the Flaming Lips on this version.
Whoa.
It'll be released as a limited edition single on December the 11th. Now, what I'm about to do is so completely illegal. I have it.
You do?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I have it.
Huh.
And I'm gonna play a piece of it.
Wow.
This is okay. Yoko with her remake of Happy Christmas, War is Over. Here we go. I have a question. Why does she do this?
I don't know.
She was at a museum, and she just walked up to the mic and started this.
Yeah.
She sounds like a holy roller, like she's speaking in tongues.
And so this is Christmas.
If I could get up and do this and people would clap, I'd be the happiest person on the face of the earth.
Isn't it great? You know, this doesn't even touch, though, my favorite. Cambridge 1969.
And that's the sound of a million dogs howling.
That's awful.
It's still going.
Oh, it's got another 2 minutes.
I'm all totally right, putting this in that my Christmas.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can't wait to hear this. I cannot wait. December 11th, we're all about it. Now, here's what we're all about. Danny, join me on this.
What's up?
Today is Veterans Day.
It is.
And we are all about that. We have taken two items and put them up for bid on eBay. A hat, a cowboy hat signed by Dwight Yoakam, and a Kurt Russell doll from his movie. I've got a block on it. What is
Big Trouble in Little China.
I found this in a Halloween store. I bought it, and Kurt signed it. The auction goes for another hour or so, Danny?
Hour and an hour and a half for the Kurt Russell doll.
All right, give us the bids at this point.
The Dwight Yoakam is still at $281.99, and the Kurt Russell doll has moved up to $137.50.
Wow.
If you go to the Mark in the Morning Facebook page, that'll give you a direct link on how to bid on this. Don't be a loser. Support our veterans.
And by the way, that hat, it's a nice hat, right?
It's a Stetson.
It's a nice Stetson. How much do those even cost if you just walk in off the street?
$3,000.
You're kidding.
Right. No, I'm kidding, yeah.
But it's a nice hat.
I'm trying to sell this thing. Come on, guys.
All right, so tell them again how they can get their bid up easiest way.
Danny, I'm going to help you with this.
What's up?
Every time you don't bid, that's a bid that you are against the veterans.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you want the terrorists to win? Come on, America. Step up. Piss me off.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Mark in the Morning Facebook link.
So last night, the Republican candidates, their fourth debate, and, you know, I don't watch them normally. I don't much care about what they're having to say, but I'm always entertained by Donald Trump. Here, Donald calls out Carly Fiorina for interrupting Rand Paul.
You can be strong without being involved in every civil war around the world.
Would you respond?
Ronald Reagan was strong, but Ronald Reagan didn't
send troops
into the Middle
East. And Ronald Reagan walked away at Reykjavik. He walked away. He quit talking when it was time to quit talking.
Can I finish with my time?
Why does she keep interrupting everybody?
Sounds like you, Mark.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'd like to finish my response, basically.
Wow.
Why can't she raise her hand?
Yeah. Men are talking, Carly.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
All right, check this out.
I hear the train a-coming.
The Indonesian government is considering a plan to build an island prison for the country's worst drug offenders, and they're going to use crocodiles to guard it. The agency chief, Bud Waseo, said, quote, "We will place as many crocodiles as we can there. I will search for the most ferocious types of crocodile." He says the crocodiles would be made effective guards because they can't be bribed by prisoners, unlike human guards.
And can the crocodiles have frickin' laser beams on their heads?
Oh my God.
Andy.
That's good, Dr. Evil.
The name game.
Yeah.
Shirley, bo burly, bo nana, banana, bo
in burly, baby news, the most popular baby girl's name in the entire world is...
Can I guess?
Please.
I'm going with Emma.
Isabella.
And Jackie says Isabella.
I'll say Elizabeth.
I'll give you a hint. It starts with an S.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. No, not
Samantha.
Stephanie. No.
But in the world, you said?
In the world.
Oh, Xiao Shang.
Sophia.
It is Sophia.
Ooh. Yeah.
Stats collected from 49 countries around the world for BabyNameWizard.com revealed that some form of the name Sophia ranked first place in 9 countries.
Huh.
Wow, how do you like that?
How about it?
I like that name.
It works for me.
And it makes sense because Jackie's wearing her Sophia Petrillo sweater today from the
I
Golden
am.
Girls.
Now, Andrew, you said Laura and the kids are coming up?
Yeah, they're going to be in here in an hour, I guess. Mm. They're going to come in.
Right.
By the way, we finished Whiplash last night.
Oh, what'd you think?
Well, you can get her opinion on it, too, if you want. I thought it was good. I did.
Wow.
I really thought it was good. I thought it was a good recommendation. We both agree that this watching half a movie one night... And yeah. then the other half, the next night, kind of loses a little bit of the tension.
We tried to tell you. Didn't
but
we, Mark?
What about that ending?
Yeah, so like where we ended,
a couple of nights, a few nights ago, was like right, pretty much right before that scene.
Oh.
So we turn it back on. It's like, okay, what's going on? And we didn't quite have the, you know, the three-act build towards what was going on there. It was interesting, and I have questions for you about it. Mm-hmm. Like, when he comes over and don't want to give it away for people, but when he comes over and says, I know it was you,
mm-hmm.
is he simply doing that to motivate him to do his best?
No. He wanted to ruin him.
He's trying to screw him.
He's trying to ruin, or is he trying to motivate him? Because it seems like he made quite a turn. So he was convinced on stage that
It goes back to the speech that he gave him when he talked about the great moment musically that he was involved in. And he said, one of the worst things somebody can say to you is good job. And so he wanted to ruin him because the kid tattled on him. But then all was forgiven.
Did the kid tattle on him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Andy, you got to watch it again.
I got to watch
one
it again.
Shot.
Yeah.
All right. On the other side of Tom Petty, I have a listener email. A listener of Mark in the Morning has reached out. He wants our opinion on it. I'll tell you, I am very opinionated about this. So we'll share that right after Mr. Tom Petty. One of the ugliest men in classic rock. Here we go.
We just got a letter, we just got a letter, we just got a letter, wonder who it's from. It's a letter from our friends.
Nice. All right. Listen carefully. Advice will be doled.
Uh-oh.
Okay, guys, I need some advice. I've been with my girlfriend for the last 2 years, and I'm finally ready to pop the question.
No.
I want to propose to her in a big way, a way that she will never forget. My plan is to propose to her at Thanksgiving dinner in front of her entire family.
Mm.
We're talking parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins. So here's the thing. I told my best friend what I was going to do, and he basically said I'm an idiot. He said proposing to her at the Thanksgiving dinner table is weird and would put too much pressure on her. He said if I wanted to do it that day, I should do it privately. What do you think, listener Matt?
All I can say to this is I had a friend in college that this happened to. This happened to at Christmas dinner. She had no intention of marrying him, didn't want anything more to do with him, and had to say yes in that moment, get the ring, do the kiss, take the pictures, because the same thing, it was so much pressure.
Mm. Here's the thing. He wants to do it because he wants it to be something she'll never forget. Dude, the day that you ask your wife to marry you will be something she never forgets, period. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do it in a balloon. You don't have to do it hanging from a plane. You don't have to do anything like that. She's going to remember it regardless. So just get it right. It doesn't have to be crazy.
Matt, this is one of the stupidest, dumbest ideas I have ever heard. Things like that need to be private. They need to be special. And to do it in front of all those people, you're going to look like a tool.
Mm.
Absolutely the worst idea I've ever heard. I don't know what it is about people. Like, my favorite one was a guy and his girlfriend walk out to center ice in halftime of a hockey game. He gets down on one knee. He's on the Jumbotron, and it's obvious that he's proposing to her. She puts her hands over her mouth and runs off the ice.
Oh, no.
So I don't know what it is about people that want to do these kinds of things in big, big ways.
Uh-huh. I think it's the girls, because they're like, you know, girls always make a big deal about like, oh, my God, and he didn't.
But on a Jumbotron, I can't think of anything worse than being proposed to on a Jumbotron.
Yeah, Matt, don't do this. This is just, I'm glad you wrote.
No, you can do something nice and grand that is also private. I'm not saying that this was the most brilliant thing ever, but the most original thing. But I, for example, proposed to Laura underneath our favorite waterfall in Yosemite.
Mm.
You can do something that's grand and wonderful and unforgettable that doesn't depend on other people to make it great.
Yeah.
Now, you could propose to her Thanksgiving morning and then announce it at the dinner table for the family.
Yeah, but you're really banking on the fact that she's going to say yes, and you're with her family. So where are you going to go if she says no?
You know what? What is odd to me? This is really, really strange to me. I know if a girl is into me. Uh-huh. I already know the answer to the question, will you marry me? And I also know when she's not into me. And so I don't understand. I think it's a desperate plea.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I think some guys do it publicly because they're afraid.
They need
that
the added
no.
pressure to make it actually go over. Yeah. If she hasn't already pestered you about marrying her, then don't ask her to marry.
Don't do it, man. You're one step closer to divorce, dude.
Oh, God.
Think of all the strange.
Think of all the strange. Now, Andy's wife, Laura, and the kids are coming up. I think it's in the 8 o'clock hour. And Andy screwed up the other day. He wrecked his wife's car. And she's pissed at him.
Well, that's overstating it. I did not wreck the car. Someone backed into the car.
You were driving the car, and it is now damaged.
It was parked.
You were driving the car, and it is now damaged.
And you let the bandit go.
I was being charitable. I thought there was no damage.
She's pissed at him.
She's not happy.
But don't worry. I'm going to fix it.
Oh, good.
Today when she comes in. I got your back. Don't you worry about it.
Great.
Now, today is Veterans Day. We're going to play a game. We talked yesterday, and we felt like the best military movie ever made was... Yeah, we could have gone John Wayne. We didn't. It's Stripes. We're going to play a game. We're going to play two clips for you. You're on the phone, and one of you, a listener, will tell us which clip comes from Stripes. You'll get anything you want from the booty box. Andrew, at 10 minutes till 8, will start his top 15 bass players of all time. These are not performances. This is for the body of work, the top 15 bass players. And plus, I've got On This Day in History. But on the other side of business, they've done some studying. They have found the perfect cheeses for the perfect grilled cheese sandwich.
Ooh.
And a reason why. I will reveal the cheese in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. In food news, scientists have determined the perfect cheese for making grilled cheese sandwiches. Researchers with the American Chemical Society conducted experiments on cheese meltiness, and they have determined the following cheeses. Gouda. Gouda.
Delicious Gouda.
Cut the cheese.
Gruyere. Why do people name Gruyere?
It's what French.
Those French, they have a different word for everything.
And Manchego.
Manchego, my favorite cheese. It's Spanish from Spain.
These make the best grilled cheese sandwiches. Apparently, milder cheeses melt more evenly and thoroughly than the sharp counterparts.
Huh.
But you see, my problem is I like that sharpness.
Yeah. Me too.
Sharpness?
They call it sharp and bitey in Australia.
Yeah, that's what I like. Well, let's be honest. When you're eating a grilled cheese, it's not really about the cheese. It's about the butter you cook it in.
Yes.
By the way, one of my favorite things to do when Laura and I were single, we'd go out, to eat fairly often. And whenever we ordered a cheese plate, the person would bring over the cheese plate, and I would always call over the waiter and say, "Excuse me, did you cut the cheese?"
Oh, I bet he loved that.
Who cut the cheese?
See, my favorite thing.
And Laura loves that. She loved it.
My favorite thing is the obvious stuff. I like to walk into a lamp store and walk up to the salesperson. Do you have any lamps? And there's thousands of them around.
I love that.
It just pisses Linda off, which is part of the fun. Okay, so coming up, this female Viagra. Is it Adye?
I don't know.
Okay, it's a female
Viagra. Find out.
The question is, does it work? I've got the research right here.
Okay.
It's pronounced Danny.
Just
God.
On the other side of you, too, I've got On This Day in History, and at 10 minutes too late, Andy has the first five of his best bass players in the world, in his opinion. Dumb question, I'm sure. That's you too with God part two. Mm-hmm. Is there a part one?
There is. It's an answer to John Lennon's God is a concept.
All right.
Yeah, it's an answer to the John Lennon song.
Yeah, I don't think I need to get into that.
History.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
As Andrew told us in the capsule, it was on this day back in 1972, and this is weird, bassist Barry Oakley of the Allman Brothers dies in a motorcycle accident in Georgia, three blocks from the site of Dwayne Allman's fatal crash the previous year, and he was only 24. It was on this day back in 1972, the Eagles' Witchy Woman becomes the Hall of Fame band's first top 10 hit.
You mean Witchy Woman?
Sorry. Andy also told us it was on this day in 1969 that Jim Morrison, drunk and belligerent, is arrested on an airplane on his way from L.A. to Phoenix to see the Stones, man. He is charged with interfering with the hostesses, which carries a possible 10-year sentence and a $10,000 fine. The stewardess later withdraws her charges.
So I say to you, the silk handkerchief was embroidered in China or Japan.
Marty, shh, you'll scare the fish.
But we're missing the big football game.
Relax, my VHS home video recorder is taping it right now.
Terrific. Watch. Terrific. But suppose it's over 3 hours.
Relax.
Panasonic VHS.
It was on this day back in 1952, the very first video recorder is demonstrated right here in Beverly Hills, California.
Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you.
Born in 1974, Leonardo DiCaprio is 41 today.
Spaces between us.
Demi Moore is 53 today.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna marry you, Sam.
What? What?
Yep. I've been thinking about it. I'm thinking about it a lot.
And happy birthday to Stanley Tucci. He is 55.
We're reading a book that I personally deem wildly inappropriate for our age group, so I actually felt it was quite apropos.
What did you say?
Let's just say it was an inappropriate word.
Well, what did it start with?
A snide comment from a snotty girl in my class.
No, I mean, what letter did the word start
with?
Every time he's in a movie, when he first comes on screen, I get so excited. He's the best.
He is one of our great character actors.
Absolutely.
Do you remember him in Devil Wears Prada?
Oh, he was great in The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, I need to go back and see that. I so enjoyed it when I saw it, which is odd because it was, wasn't it a chick, would it be
very
considered?
Very much a chick flick, but it's candy like you like. It's that that high calorie, no nutrition candy.
It was one of those movies from about a year long period that had in the soundtrack and at a pivotal point in the movie, that song from KT Tunstall. Suddenly I see. What I'm really supposed to be. Yeah.
By the way, Stanley Tucci in the new movie Spotlight. Go see it.
By the way, I was looking for a movie recommendation on a flight, and my stupid daughter Katie says to me, "Get The Notebook. Oh, it's really good." So I get it on my iPad. I'm flying and bawling. I'm going to kill her. I've yet to do it. I just wanted to die.
Do
Good
I still
God.
Have to see that thing?
The Notebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll cry your guts out.
Ugh. Oh, Gina, listen, it is so freaking good.
Yeah. Fine.
It's for chicks.
I know.
You're not a chick, Gina.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Coming up, we've got the Stripes game. We are celebrating Veterans Day. We're going to play two clips from movies. You tell us which clip, clip one or clip two, comes from Stripes. But on the other side of business, this female libido boosting pill, does it really work? I've got the research, and that's in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. You sexy thing. Now, Adye is a new libido boosting pill for women. According to the manufacturer studies, it can restore a healthy sex drive to some, but not all, of the women who take it daily. But the drug is expensive and has scary side effects.
Oh.
So the question is Adye worth it? First things first, what can it do and what can't it do? Even though it's been called the female Viagra, Adye is nothing like Viagra. The drug works more like an antidepressant, which once upon a time, that's what was intended to be. That didn't work out. Like antidepressants, the drug doesn't act instantly. You have to take it for weeks or months to alter your brain's chemistry. That's the first difference between Adye and Viagra. Men take Viagra on the days they want to have sex, and it increases blood flow to the area within an hour. Women take Adye every day indefinitely in the hope that after a month or two, they might want sex more.
Nah.
What are the risks? What's more concerning are the risks. The drug can cause sedation, sleepiness, dizziness. It can also cause women to develop low blood pressure and rarely to faint at seemingly random times. So they did the test. Some got placebo, some got the Adye, the drug. Of the ones that said it worked, some said it worked slightly, others said it worked great for them, and others had no improvement whatsoever.
I was going to say, if it worked a little sooner, a little more immediately, we needed to have Gina try that at the beginning
absolutely.
Of a show.
No, that's why I'm going to get that mushroom from Hawaii or whatever. But doesn't it make perfect sense that if you want a guy to be aroused, you send it right to his... And if you want a girl to be aroused, it has to go to her brain.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Well, if you started now, Gina, we could test it in 2016.
Fine.
Right. In 20 minutes, we're going to give somebody $1,000. It might as well be you. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grad.
Well, a New Jersey mall has caused an uproar by making Santa's Village into a minimalistic glacier display with Santa sitting in it instead of a traditional North Pole display. We are officially out of things to complain about. Out Magazine has named Caitlyn Jenner Newsmaker of the Year on their 2015 Out 100 list. And here's what's trending in sports. This just over the wire, by the way. Disney CEO Bob Iger has been appointed to by the San Diego Chargers and Oakland Raiders to head the proposed stadium project in Carson. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we have Andy's base list. But first, Neil Young. This is Mark in the Morning.
All right, it is Veterans Day, and we are all about the vets. And so we're going to, oh, by the way, we've got two items up for bid on eBay. All the money is going to the veterans. It is Dwight Yoakam's signed, autographed cowboy hat.
That's at 501 right now.
Nice.
501. And Kurt Russell's doll from
Big Trouble in Little China.
I was going to say
it's
Bright
a
Lights,
I just
Big
can't.
City. I know. It's
and it's going to close in about 45 minutes. So take a shot and get in there. Now, we were talking yesterday and we agreed that the best movie about service is Stripes. We bring Dale up from Santa Margarita. Good morning, Dale.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Top of the morning to you.
And the same to you. So we're going to play two clips. Your job is to tell us which one comes from Stripes, okay?
You got it.
Here we go. Clip number one.
Where the hell have you been, soldier?
Training, sir!
Training, sir!
What kind of training, son?
Army training, sir!
Army training, sir!
And now...
Hey, Mark, you don't even need to play number two.
Oh.
Let me put the joke out, okay? Here's clip number two.
Okay.
Because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual. But now I know why I have always lost women to guys like you. I mean, it's not just the uniform. It's the stories that you tell. So much fun and imagination. Lee Harvey. You are a madman. When you stole that cow
And your friend tried to make it with the cow? I want to party with you, cowboy.
All right, Dale, which one? Was it clip number one or clip number two?
Clip number one is my favorite clip from Stripes. It's definitely number one.
You sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
All right. Would it change your mind to know that both clips came from Stripes?
Now you got me.
All right. Well, Dale, congratulations. You win anything you want from the booty box.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening. Appreciate you calling.
That worked well.
Yeah, that went better in the meeting yesterday.
I knew the second he said, hey, Mark, he was going to screw it.
Well, hey, we're going to do it again at 8:50. So you know what? Yeah, right. Just because that one stunk, I'm going to do it again. Yeah. Look, I just want to quickly say this. On days when I'm sitting out and I'm having a cigar and I'm looking at my lake or I'm driving to the movie, I think about all of you service men and women who give me the freedom to be able to do that. Anytime I'm in a restaurant and I see a person of service, they eat free on that day. Just wanted you to know, and I think things have certainly changed since the Vietnam days when we punished people politically for being involved in a war. That's not the case now. Just know that all of us here on Mark in the Morning appreciate the fact that you put your life on the line so that we can live free, have freedom, and live a wonderful life. Thank you so very much from each and every one of us. On the other side of business, we get the first five of Andrew's 15 greatest bass players of all time. That's in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
All right, then. Gather around the wireless, kids. It's time to talk about the propulsion of rock and roll bands. We're counting down Andy's top 15 classic rock bass players of all time.
I just got it. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, Gina.
All right, I was writing something.
Glad I have your attention. I didn't have the people in the room paying attention
Sorry,
to this.
You were saying.
Okay. Go back to sleep. We'll be done in a little bit.
Well, see, the thing of it is that, in my opinion, bass players shouldn't even be on the stage because pound for pound, they're the ugliest member of the band.
And
you know what? Number one in this list is going to change your mind about that.
All right.
Andy's top 15 classic rock bass players of all time. Notice I did not say riffs or songs. We're talking about a body of work here and lay some ground rules. To define classic rock, we'll say the artist's primary work shall have been completed 25 years ago or prior. And once again, if yours didn't make the list, just assume they came in at number 16. And I struggled with this list once again, as you always do. There are so many great classic rock bass players like Tony Levin of King Crimson, Phil Lesh of Grateful Dead, Tina Weymouth of the Talking Heads, Geezer Butler, Black Sabbath, Flea, Lemmy, Adam Clayton of U2, Ray Manzarek's Left Hand. There are so many of them. But I chose 15 that I think are deserving of this honor. And we'll start off with number 15. It's easy to hate Sting. With his tantric sex BS and his 700 bank accounts. But there's no denying that he's always trying to move the ball down the field just a little bit. Started off in the 70s mixing punk and jazz and rock and lots of reggae into the Police's 3-minute songs and looking good doing it. Here's a naked part of Message in a Bottle, 79. Drop in the rest of the tracks here. And you don't appreciate it because it's buried so far into the mix.
Oh, wow.
I'm okay with this.
But by 1981, he's pulled it all together into this, and they put it right up front. And Ghost in the Machine, the opening track to the album, Spirits in the Material World. That groove is sick. Listen to that.
I'm a huge fan of Sting's solo work, not a big fan of the Police.
Huh.
Which is odd.
Interesting.
So he's doing this reggae beat through the verses.
Mm-hmm.
Then he switches during the chorus to just a full-on rock beat. Check it out.
Known fact, when Sting is recording in the studio, and this is every single time, he has tantric balls hanging from his man
bits. Was not aware of that.
Yeah.
But then also, he still has enough touch to pull off stuff like this.
Ah! Now we're talking.
Mic so closely that you can hear the squeaking on the strings. By the way, the video for this song alone, 186 million views.
Wow. Jesus.
So somebody agrees with me.
This is pretty strong number 15, Andy. This list has got to be pretty cool.
The underrated Gordon Sumner coming
stay
in
out of it, Mikey.
At number 15.
Hey, you
good
wanted
comeback.
Me here.
All right,
good
so
comeback.
Moving on to number 14. The other reggae player, bass player on this list, and while you may not know the name, you definitely know the sound. Kingston, Jamaica's family man, Aston Barrett. That's him. Playing with Bob Marley. Played on all the Bob Marley stuff from 1970 on. Listen to the economy of notes, how few notes he's playing here. Me.
He's having a Cat Stevens reaction.
Yeah. No. He's
doing smoking
something.
It up. Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Sounded like someone dying.
By the way, that's his brother, Carly Bennett, on drums, too. Between the two of them, they're the propulsion behind Bob Marley and the Wailers from 70 on, and they just explode the reggae sound to universal fame. In fact, Aston was producing and arranging Bob's music by the middle of the decade. And the name Family Man is great. It's something he gave himself before he even had children. Because he just, family man, I'm taking care of everything. I got it all under control. But he went on to father 52 children.
What? Oh, my God.
Talk about big bass. Aston Barrett is number 14.
Wow.
All right, moving on to number 13. You say, lie not. I say, why not? And then I regret saying that. But I don't regret putting Dublin, Ireland leader of Thin Lizzy on the list. Here's Phil Lynott. This is totally removed. This is a naked bass line to The Boys Are Back in Town. That walk down on the bass is so good. Can't even hear it because it's so low in the mix, but yeah. This is what he's doing while he's singing.
Yep.
They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Put him on here as a great example of a bass player leading a flat-out rock band.
Wow.
And killing it.
There better be somebody else then that's higher up.
The only way you can describe Thin Lizzy's music is this, just dirty.
Oh,
I
so
love
good.
It.
And his voice. We're not even getting into his unmistakable voice. But Phil Lynott, dead at just 36 years old, almost three decades ago. Huge loss for rock and roll. Phil Lynott. Number 13 on our list of the top 15 classic rock bass players of all time. All right, then, moving on to number 12. A lot to love about number 12. It's John Deacon of Queen. And maybe the thing to love most about him is that he refuses to play as Queen without Freddie Mercury in the band, which is something you have to kind of respect. He's gotten together with them, I think, twice to do tributes to Freddie and so forth. But looking at his body of work, let's look at this one that he wrote for Vanilla Ice.
That was mighty generous.
Naked here, and then we'll drop in the rest.
Collaborate and listen. Ice is back.
Hey.
Oh, sorry.
Don't mark this song.
I'm actually surprised he's not higher up, Andy.
Oh, I got lots of surprises for you in this one. Okay, so it wasn't written for Vanilla Ice. It was written for the Thin White Duke, David Bowie, and Queen for Under Pressure. He creates little bass loops every time he picks up the guitar.
And what's more recognizable than that?
I'll give you another example of him creating a bass lick. Yeah,
there it is.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. This alone would get him on this list.
Yeah.
This is sick.
It's too bad this one wasn't a big hit.
Yeah. Their biggest hit in the U.S. By the by, he also wrote some Queen songs you love, like You're My Best Friend. John Deacon wrote that. Also, I Want to Break Free. The songwriter as well. He's a double threat. Are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the side of the beast, yeah. John Deacon of Queen is number 12 on this list of the greatest bass players. Okay, so number 11, getting closer to being voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but he'll give less of a crap than I do about the hall because he's dead. Way to overlook genius once again, Rock Hall. This is Chris Squire of Yes. A song called The Fish. What in God's name is he doing here?
He did
a couple of months ago. Passed away in June after fighting leukemia. And the world of rock is lesser for it. That's Chris Squire right there. This is Chris Squire right here. Heart of a Sunrise. Is totally avant-garde, doing whatever he wants. And this is Chris Squire. Listen to this bass line. That is 15 through 11. Tomorrow, 7:50, we'll have numbers 10 through 6.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Todd Donahoe Sports is brought to you by our friends and buddies at Frontier Toyota. Good morning, Todd.
Great morning to you, Mark. NFL news, Andrew Luck, starting quarterback, Indianapolis Colts, out 2 to 6 weeks. Lacerated kidney, took a hit in the fourth quarter of Sunday's game against the Broncos. Matt Hasselbeck is now the quarterback for the Colts. That's a serious blow. Serious blow. Hey, the Carolina Panthers have a new fan. Don Shula is rooting for the Panthers. Of course, his son Mike is the offensive coordinator. And Shula says, I want the Panthers to go 19-0 and be the only team other than the 1972 Miami Dolphins, which Don Shula coached to go an entire season unbeaten. Of course, back then the Dolphins went 17-0. There was only a 14-game regular season.
Yes.
So they went 17-0, and he wants the Panthers to break that record.
Yes! 19-0. So, yes!
You're eating into all my time. Here we go. The New York Attorney General declared that fantasy sports is illegal gambling.
Of course it
is. He said he sent DraftKings and FanDuel cease and desist orders to stop accepting wagers from New York residents. Hey, I don't know how they do that. It's online, right?
Yeah. I did it, and it's fun and all of that good. But this idea that it wasn't gambling, that it was a game of skill, come on. It's so obvious. It's like poker. There's no game. There's so much luck involved in it.
Us doing our picks on the Slam on the Mark in the Morning program proves that it is not a game of skill, okay? Absolutely proves it.
Going to Chuck E. Cheese is illegal gambling. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right, NBA. Oh, here's news. Lakers lost again, 101-88. They're 1-6. They scored 39 points in the second half. Kobe Bryant sat out with back problems. They're at Orlando tonight. You know, he's already sitting out. Well, that was game number 7. He's sitting out with back problems. You know, kind of like watching Tiger Woods go downhill, kind of watch, you know, a heavyweight fighter who maybe fought one too many fights. You know, it's just, it's sad to see the great Kobe Bryant limited in what we knew he could do because of age, and it's as simple as that. And D'Angelo Russell, the first round pick, the number 2 pick overall, last night, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in 21 minutes, sat out the fourth quarter, not exactly what he expected a first-round pick to do, and the Kings lose to the Coyotes 3-2. And that's it in sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful downtown Valencia, California. Check them out, FrontierToyota.com.
Todd, we'll see you tomorrow.
All righty.
On the other side of business, I will tell you what will happen to you if you go to Waffle House and throw a fit because you think they charged you too much for your biscuits. That's in 5 minutes right here on Mark in the Morning.
Speaking of diapers, I went to Waffle House last night. Tell you, I thought the IHOP was a dump until I went into a Waffle House. Wow, they're not even trying in there.
A Waffle House customer in Georgia is finding himself covered and smothered in criminal charges after he went berserk over the price of his biscuits. Police say 39-year-old Michael Feinberg had finished his meal and was handed the check, which showed a $1.50 charge for biscuits. Feinberg, a regular Waffle House customer, remembered the price being only a dollar, and he flew into a rage.
Oh,
he threw his bill on the floor, stormed out of the restaurant, punching the door on his way out, and shattered the glass.
Oh, wow.
All for 50 cents.
That seems proportional.
Hey. All right, now, Danny, really quickly, yeah. There's like 4 minutes left in the auction. Where are we with the Dwight Yoakam hat and the Kurt Russell doll?
The Dwight Yoakam hat's got 3 minutes left on eBay. It's at $501. We got to push this hard. This is in support of our veterans.
Now, wait, the little blotch, remember the gold blotch that we made from the pen that went for $550 or something like that?
Right.
This is what he was actually signing when he made the gold blotch.
Yes, go to...
That's going for more than the hat.
Mark in the Morning's Facebook page right now and bid. It's like a minute left.
Yeah, we got like a little under 3 minutes, and the Kurt Russell doll is about 30 minutes away from closing. We're at $177.50. Come on, y'all.
All right, so now Gina brought in a big vat of something from somewhere, and Josh came in and tried it.
So much to my chagrin, because I hate the smell and taste of maple, Andy requested it, though, so I got it. A 25-pound tub of maple icing that was being liquidated from a grocery store, and it was under the fixtures and furniture section. So Josh comes in here with a pretzel and says, I got to try this icing. He dips it in a big, generous scoop, bites it, his eyes light up, and he goes, hold on, I got to go get the whole bag of pretzels. So should we try it? Because none of us
have
tried it.
All right,
Andy, you're first because you like maple.
Gimme.
Oh my God, it's so thick, I can hardly scoop it.
How many times have I heard that?
It looks like poison.
Oh God, no, that's too much.
Okay, hold
scrape on. A little off.
Well, Josh really liked it.
Mm. All right. Yeah,
this
good.
Should be good.
Good maple music.
All right, it is a gigantic.
Oh, look at that. You see that, Mark?
Scoop of maple icing on a pretzel.
Do it, dog. Mm. And?
Oh, that's pretty damn good.
All right. Hold on. I'll try it, even though I don't like
that's
maple.
That's pretty good. Want to try a bite?
Oh, wait. That's actually delicious. That tastes like a donut.
What are those ingredients?
Oh.
Sugar.
The ingredients are corn syrup, sugar, partially hydrogenated soybean, and cottonseed oil.
Yum.
Contains less than 2% of the following. Natural flavor.
Yeah.
Water, caramel, and salt.
Oh, not too bad.
That's good.
Really
on the other side of the Electric Light Orchestra, we have our first round of Dear Gina. Somebody has reached out, and in 10 minutes, I'm going to save Andy's marriage.
Thanks,
you're
buddy.
Welcome. This is Telephone Line, Jeff Lynn and the boys. This is the Electric Light Orchestra on Mark in the Morning. So, Gina, a staple of this program, apparently is respected by somebody.
Yeah.
And they reached out to her for advice in a matter. That is why we now bring you the first edition of Dear Gina.
Well, this one makes a lot of sense, so I'll read you the note and you'll understand why. It says, Dear Gina, I heard your story a while back about your boyfriend teasing you about not staying on your diet and how pissed you got. And a similar thing happened to me, so I thought you'd be the perfect person to tell me how to handle this. My fiance, Megan, is a bit overweight, her words, not mine, and she's decided that the only way to lose weight is to go carb-free. She eats tons of meat and cheese, and she's convinced that she's going to lose weight by doing this. Of course, I have my suspicions. The problem came when we ordered pizza the other night, and she said to order her own pizza so she can eat all of the cheese and pepperoni and sausage off of it without the crust, of course, for dinner. I looked at Megan like she was crazy and said at this rate she might as well order a salad and just take shots of ranch while she's doing it, which I thought was pretty funny. Well, Megan broke down in tears and drove all the way to her best friend's house in the middle of the night. We talked on the phone as soon as she got there and said that little jab just brought up every insecurity she's ever had about her weight and her body, and she's afraid that nobody will ever really love her because she thinks she's a little chunky. Mm-hmm. Please tell me... Shut up, Danny. Please tell me how to fix this, Gina. I love her so much, and I didn't mean to hurt her.
Women.
Wow.
Okay, here's the deal. I know this is tough, and he signed it David. So, quote-unquote, David. Here we go.
Is that my boyfriend? That's his name.
You could have texted me, Dave.
I know.
No, David, this is tough because you obviously love her, and it's obvious that cheese and sausage is not the way she's going to get healthy. But your girlfriend does sound like she's struggling with food and body issues. Sounds like she's actually been struggling for a long time. And no matter how well-intentioned your little jokes are, she's only going to hear the criticism when you make jokes like that. You might hate it. I get it. But that's the simple truth. So if you haven't already, personally, I would tell her that you love her unconditionally, that you think she's beautiful the way she is, and this is very important, say and, not but. Never say but. You want her to be around for a really long time because you can't imagine a life without her.
That's good.
You like that?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's strong.
And that the cheese and sausage, it can be pretty hard on your heart, honey. That's just a fact.
Yeah, you do lose weight with that, but it's a short-term thing.
And you'll lose a lot more weight when you're dead because it'll give you a heart attack. I'd reiterate, too, that you'd love her if she was 900 pounds. Shut up, Danny. But if the goal is to lose weight, you'd be happy to do it with her. You know, why not do it together? That sounds great. If that's what she wants, if she wants to lose weight, why don't you guys do it as a team?
Why does he have to lie and say he'd be happy with her at 900 pounds?
Yeah.
Shut up, Annie. So, most of this information, I think, this is the information you're getting from this, okay? You can joke with anyone you want about anything you want, except your girlfriend about her weight. It's just not gonna fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are wise words.
The truth. Yeah. Speak the truth.
Thank you. No, stop it. Yeah.
On the other side of business, ahead. I'm going to save Andy's marriage. He's in trouble. He's in the doghouse. I got this.
We're just full of help in here, aren't we?
It's going to save his marriage.
Regular Eloise show.
Business and back. This is Mark in the Morning.
Love and marriage.
Now, Andy's wife, Laura, is in here with the kids. And the other day, in case you didn't hear, Andy took his wife's car out, did some shopping, had a little fender bender. Both he and the woman get out. They didn't see any damage. So Andy drives the car home. There is damage, and Laura is pissed about it. Laura's with us. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
Now, I want to just quickly explain something to you about men.
Oh,
guys, everything we do is unintentional. We mean well. Like, for example, the time that I was vacuuming my outdoor fireplace on my balcony with a wet dry vac, there were hot embers in there, and I set the wet dry vac on fire, and then I threw it off the balcony because it was going to catch the house on fire, and I set the front yard on fire. Now, my wife learned long ago to just look the other.
So there's a lot happening right now. A baby is climbing Laura, and Silas is chastising her.
Linda learned long ago to look the other way. Guys are interesting because we're constantly doing stuff that sometimes goes wrong. And what I'm suggesting is that you simply look the other way. I have ruled on this.
Yeah.
The gavel.
Oh, boy.
Andrew.
Yeah, I get your point. It's just, I thought I married somebody whose frontal lobes were, you know, completely formed. And apparently not. It's behavior I'd expect to deal with in like 15, 20 years when the kids are driving.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You know, like they don't know how to handle a situation like that and they get flustered. They can't even take a picture of the license plate.
Right.
But from my 47-year-old husband...
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No, listen.
She's giving it to you with both barrels.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Laura. Here's fact. Men are idiots. Women are boring. And the two together makes marriage.
Yeah.
But I have ruled on this. Andrew.
See?
Honey, you didn't even need me here, though.
It's all fixed.
Andrew.
Yes, sir?
When you got in your wife's car...
Wait, no, I thought
pristine.
You already ruled on this.
I have not ruled. Here's the ruling.
He just likes to hit the gavel. He hit the hammer on that thing.
I'm getting everybody's attention. Stand by for my ruling.
Okay.
When you got in your wife's car, it was pristine. When you returned it, it wasn't pristine anymore. You, Andrew, will drive the car to two body shops, get the estimates. You will call the insurance company. When chosen, you yourself will drive the car back to get it fixed, and you will return it to your wife in the very same condition it was before you left.
Oh.
Secondly, Laura gets a weekend away with her girlfriends, and she will be allowed to do a guy if she so chooses.
Wow. Wait, what?
That's got to hurt.
This seems pretty harsh.
Wow.
It's a ruling.
That's an overreaction.
I have rules.
No, hold on. I'm going to put my foot down
Laura,
on this.
How say
no,
you.
No, no.
All right,
no. I am going to put my foot down about that. I refuse.
An appeal?
To send that to the insurance company because my rates are going to go through the roof.
Okay, then you drive and get it fixed, but she doesn't lift a finger.
Okay, and she can do a guy. Okay, all right, fair.
Fair.
Right.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grad.
And remember, we know Luke Perry.
Well, I was going to say... Okay.
And by the way...
Let's find out if he's free this
when Mark, when Mark said, I'm going to fix this, I think Laura thought he was going to write a check for like $1,500.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No, that's your problem.
Yes!
So a little California town called Three Rivers is literally crawling with hungry bears. They've been driven down from the mountain with the drought in search of food to fatten up for winter, so look out for the bears. Get ready to freak out, soup fans. Campbell's Classic Chicken Noodle Soup is going from 30 ingredients to 20, and Vivian hates it. She likes the old soup, so she has to step outside. And be careful at the spa. A woman just asphyxiated at a Las Vegas spa in a cryotherapy chamber.
Whoa.
So please make sure someone knows you're in the cryotherapy chamber. Whoa. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, the morning show has a new sponsor, and they have a commercial you might want to hear. But first, Mr. Mellencamp. This is Mark in the Morning.
Mr. Cougar Mellencamp couldn't make up his mind. Now, you guys have probably heard SeaWorld has decided to remove their orca thing because they're in such trouble over it. And they're going to give a friendlier, nicer to the whales thing. Well, we have a brand new sponsor that is not on board with that. Here it is.
Here at Oceanland, we know what people want, and we're not letting a few complainers stand between our customers and their entertainment.
And that's why we're picking up SeaWorld slack by opening our own orca exhibit. Because deep down, we know that some people kind of don't care if sea creatures are unhappy.
At Oceanland, we don't believe that whales, dolphins, or any other sort of marine life have feelings. And if they did, it wouldn't matter. Their feelings are moot. Humans are the dominant species, and we're not afraid to show those water-dwelling bastards who's boss.
Our killer whale exhibit isn't just a whale jumping around and eating fish. We make our whales perform elaborate, almost psychologically damaging stunts, like swimming through the remains of their loved ones.
And not only do we refuse to reward those worthless mammals with fish, if they fail to please us, our patrons, we drop a toaster in the tank. It doesn't kill them, but it teaches them a lesson. What's the lesson? They know. Oh, they know.
Maybe dolphins are more your speed. Well, our dolphins don't smile like all those other cocky dolphins always looking like they have a funny secret. No, our dolphins weep openly. Probably because our dolphin exhibit only consists of us forcing them to watch footage
of their own parents having intercourse. Flipper, oh, he flips her all right, and she likes it because she's a filthy tramp. You hear me, dolphin?
Hey, do you love adorable sea otters? Why? All they do is float around on their backs, contributing nothing to the world, just relaxing without a care in the world. Well, our otters have many cares in the world. They've been beaten down psychologically. We saw to that. First, we shave them. Nothing humiliates an otter quite like being hairless.
Then, we take away anything that they might try to rest on, like a rock or embankment. So they swim all day long. No free lunch here, you hairless freaks.
And they should be happy. They're getting fed at all. They deserve nothing. They are nothing.
Do you like sea lions? Of course you do, because you don't really know what they're like behind closed doors. Sea lions are the scourge of the sea. And at Oceanland, we're teaching them a lesson they won't soon forget.
Our sea lions swim in a freshwater tank. Seems innocent enough, right? Well, that's when their payback starts. Over a span of a few hours, we mix a little bit of cement into the tank until finally, well, we won't spoil it for you.
So go ahead, SeaWorld. Make your vow to stop harming sea creatures or whatever. We don't back down so easily. We're in charge. We're Oceanland. And you've been warned, you water-dwelling pieces of garbage. Your time is at hand.
Season pass is now available.
God. That's my favorite part. Season pass is now available.
You water-dwelling pieces of garbage. On the other side of business, I'm going to show you what you don't want to see in your ice cream man that comes through your neighborhood and sells ice cream to your kids. This guy was drunk and mostly naked. We'll give you details on it in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. Less than 2 minutes to go for the Kurt Russell doll. Head to eBay and make a bid. 2 minutes to go. We all scream for ice cream, but some folks near Buffalo screamed a little louder for their ice cream man when he drove through their neighborhood drunk, wearing only his underwear.
Oh.
A concerned parent called the cops to complain about the driver after he began yelling and cussing at the kids who had flagged down his truck. He then stripped off everything. Officers arrived on the scene and found Ryan Duff glassy-eyed behind the wheel of his ice cream truck, belligerent, refusing to submit to a breathalyzer. And he's in jail.
Quick question. I watched the whole series of Breaking Bad, and I'm wondering, was there any meth in this truck? Because that's exactly how Walter White would drive.
Now, on the other side of Led Zeppelin, we're going to play the Stripes game. The concept is a joke, and it failed miserably.
Yeah.
Am I going to change it up? Not on your life.
It's a real stinker.
We're going to do it again. 888-696-1003. The person who can answer which clip is from Stripes wins what they want from the booty box. Here's Led Zeppelin on Mark in the Morning. We're all about the veterans today. Happy Veterans Day. Danny, what did the Kurt Russell doll sell for?
Kurt Russell doll sold for $207.50.
Woo!
Yeah, we raised over $700 for our vets today.
Nice.
Nice. Well done, and thank you. Okay, so let's go to Jason. We are going to play the Stripes game. We thought that the best movie about the service is Stripes. Jason's calling from Canoga Park. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Mark in the Morning and the gang.
So, did you hear us play this game last hour?
No, I didn't. I got up, I had my coffee, I put my shot of bourbon in it, and I thought I'd give you guys a call.
All right, well, we're going to basically play two clips for you. You tell us which of the clips comes from the movie Stripes. Do you get it?
I got it.
All right, here we go. Clip number one.
I'm going to volunteer my leadership to this platoon. An army without leaders is like a foot without a big toe. And Sergeant Hulka isn't always going to be there to be that big toe for us. I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy and big toe, Sergeant Hulka.
Well, okay, hotshot. We're gonna see what kind of soldier you are.
Clip number two.
The name's Francis Sawyer. But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you. Just made the list, buddy. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. So just keep your meat hooks off. If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you. Also, I don't like nobody touching me. Now, any of you hoes touch me, and I'll kill you.
Lighten up, Francis.
I say that all the time. Lighten up, Fran. Okay. Jason from Canoga Park, which of those clips comes from Stripes? Was it clip one or was it clip two?
Well, I definitely recognize clip two, but clip one sounded like it also, so I think it's a win-win. I'm going with clip two, first shot, because I definitely remember that scene.
I like hearing him think it out.
Yeah, we're listening to his brain. Well, Jason, you're correct. They both come from Stripes, and you're going to win anything you want from the booty box.
Good job.
Right on, man. Smart and guy. You know what I want to say? Something I want to shout out there to Mikey. I loved your cat, Stevens, and the banter that went along with it. That was pure gold, what came over the radio. I relived it on the podcast yesterday, and I was laughing my tail off.
Nice.
The ass, right?
Happy new,
I was
Mikey.
Laughing my ass off.
Jason, what do you do for a living?
Well, you know, I did 30 years, midnight to nine, in the market business, raised my boys, and now I'm working on my fourth grandkid. I'm retired, and I pretty much go to concerts and listen to Mark in the Morning and tell everybody, you know, I've got a lot of friends and family back east, and they're listening to you back there, too, you know?
That's a good life.
Well, nice. Jason, we thank you for listening. Enjoy those grandkids. I can't wait to get one, but my stupid kids can't even get a date.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, you know, I've talked to you before about this. You know, when I used to work at night and I used to drop my kids off in the morning. They're grown boys now, but I used to drop them off in the morning. But they never wanted to get out of the car. They just wanted to listen to M&B every day. You know, and now I've turned them on to you guys, and they're listening, and even my granddaughter's listening when she comes over and hangs out with us. So we're third generation over in this family now.
Oh, wow.
Well, Jason, thank you for the many years, and thank you for calling, and thank you for listening to Mark in the Morning.
Right on. And Andy, the king of cool on radio, your list was right on, brother.
Wow.
Oh, thank you, buddy. More to come tomorrow.
Yeah, I call you the king of cool because you are the king of cool on that radio, man.
Thank you, brother.
Does this guy want a job?
I think that Burbank
got just got a letter.
Like him.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Does anybody else dance to that? Because I've never stopped.
In my head, I did.
Okay.
Mark in the Morning, I was appalled when I heard your morning crew was going to be a party to a man telling his 8-month pregnant wife as a hoax that he was leaving her. Mm-hmm. I don't think all the team knew about it, as I heard somebody say that it wasn't a good idea, and then somebody say it wouldn't end well, or words to that effect, when Mark told them what they were going to be doing. This woman was crying in the end at the thought that her husband and father of her child was leaving her, let alone leaving her for her sister. Mm. The word I can think of for this complete lack of any sense of compassion toward this woman on the part of your employees is misogyny. What else can be inferred when the emotional impact to a very pregnant woman is not considered by their participation in this bit in the name of humor at her expense? Even if it all was complete acting on the part of the man and the woman, which it did not appear to be, the fact remains that your team's going along with it and calling it humor as in complete contradiction to what your radio station is supposed to be doing, making your listeners feel good, and I most certainly did not. Good comedy and good music make people feel good. Terribly insensitive actions and bad judgment do not.
Yeah,
I will continue to listen to your station and the morning show because until this morning, you have always made me feel good. I hope this is an isolated incident. I think you should send this woman something as an apology, maybe a weekend getaway without her poor excuse for her husband. Let's see, what's his name? Paul. Paul, first of all, it was complete acting. They were both in on it, trying to get something. And by the way, we gave them something. What did we give her?
I don't know. Brian Adams tickets.
Brian Adams tickets. The one word that comes to my mind is prude. Paul, you're a prude.
Yeah, Paul,
that's
listen,
right, man.
I've been doing this for 45 years, and I have based my success on bad decisions. So I'm just going to keep that crap a-coming. I do hope you stay, but there's going to be other garbage like that, my friend. Well, I didn't mean for it to go that way.
And there's nothing better than a very sternly worded letter that ends with, I'll keep listening.
And by the way, it was so clear. Just like when you hear the, you know, the roses bits
Andy,
on the other radio stations.
Let's give another taste.
Okay, here we go. I have decided to leave you for your hotter sister.
Say what?
Yes, I know this is hard for you to take, but it is the truth. I have to follow my heart.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am like dying here. I'm so serious.
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo.
Hey, by the way, you remember when we did... All those people, anytime you hear this stuff on radio stations where they, hey, I'm going to call and tell them that you're cheating, what? That's all fake because it's illegal to record someone without them knowing. But do you remember when we did it to blow that up?
Oh.
Just I want to throw out this real quick. Ben Begley and Rene Dorian were two of the actors that helped us out on the thing. And they have, if you're a fan of... Halloween movies. They've got a movie with Freddy Krueger, with Robert Englund. Ooh. It comes out this Friday the 13th. So if you didn't get enough Halloween fun, it's called The Funhouse Massacre. It's a kind of a love letter to their favorite slasher flicks of the 80s and 90s. And it's got Robert Englund, Jer Burns, Scotty Thompson, Clint Howard, and Courtney Gaines. So this weekend...
Oh, Mark, you got
to
see that.
Yeah, this Friday, it's called The Funhouse Massacre. So check for theaters to see that.
Mikey, put a link to the trailer up on Mark in the Morning Facebook, if you could. Okay, coming up, we're going to get into... Gina apparently has a major physical announcement she's going to share. And Shia LaBeouf...
shy of the beef?
I like Shia LaBeouf so much better.
You got it right.
This guy, you won't believe what he's doing, so we'll share all of that next hour. We pause now for station identification. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Miss Gina Grant.
Well, congratulations to Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his girlfriend Lauren Hashian. They've just announced they're expecting a baby girl. A New Hampshire man has chained himself to a water slide in order to save his favorite water park. Mark, I feel like that's something you would do. Wouldn't you?
I don't chain myself to anything, but I would certainly pick it.
Okay. And this week, the folks at dictionary.com released their newest list of words they have added to the online lexicon. So congratulations on fleek and yes.
Yep. I feel better.
What was the second one?
Yes. I'm Gina Grant, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is David Bowie. Yes.
Yes. We are wrapped. Uncle Joe has sauntered, sashayed.
Sashayed, I like
sashayed.
That.
Yeah, he sashayed. Yeah. You
know, into the room, and he's got a 10 at 10 for us.
I can feel the respect right now.
Palpable.
Either that or indigestion, I'm not sure. So today in the 10 at 10. Oh, this is the air. Let me just, this is the list of things here. Star Wars, Annie Hall, Saturday Night Fever, Airport 77, oops. And Elvis Presley died.
Let me guess. 1976.
Oh, man, they're so close.
Oh.
77 is what it is today. Great, great music to choose from. And the Sounds 10 and 10 supported by Dr. Phil Show. Watch the all-new Dr. Phil Show today at 3 on CBS2. You were so close.
So close. tomorrow, we're going to speak with icon Grace Slick. She's on the program. Andy will continue his greatest bass players of all time. He goes from number 10 to number 6. That's at 7:50. And at 8 o'clock, we give away another $1,000 in 3K a day.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.